Okay, great to have you visiting with us here this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we trust that you welcome and at home in the presence of the Lord. Enjoy yourself this morning. Trust that God is going to speak to you at your point of need. Amen. Now you can restart it for us. 23 seconds in. We're trying a new system here to make sure that I don't preach too long and I don't preach people to sleep. We continue with our sermon series, How to Live the Blessed Life, and I think this week is week six or week five. And our portion of scripture that we've been going through week in and week out is from Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 3. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. We're going to read up to and including verse 11. It's Jesus speaking, said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. But rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And that's up to and including verse 12. Just to recap where we left off 2 weeks ago. Last week we weren't here. We attended a marriage enrichment seminar. It was awesome. It was just good to see that God reminded Colette just how privileged she is to be married to me. That's what she learned. And I got to learn that all the issues that I thought I had with her were just really because I'm a royal jerk, and I got to see that as well, and I've repented before God, and I say that in jest, but in sincerity, to make myself accountable to you as the shepherd of this flock, that I God enables me to be a godly husband to her, sometimes it's challenging, as jy kop vol is van jou eie idees, jy denk mos, jy is die baas van die plaas, jy is die man, meantime, yeah, but anyway, so thank you for excusing us last weekend. It was absolutely rewarding, and I'm looking forward to om die vrug daarvan te pluk in my huwelik. So thank you for that. Just to recap, we looked at what it means to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and we looked at some of the things that can quench our hunger and thirst for the things of God. And we looked at how Jesus spoke about from Mark chapter 4 about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches can distract us and get us to lose sight of the things that are really, really important. Can you remember that? Can you remember how the devil also tried to steal from this tiny over here? And he got a clap in his gezicht right at that moment in time. And this week, we're going to be looking at verse 7. And verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's one thing expecting God to be merciful to us when we sin. But how willing are we to be merciful and show mercy to others and to show forgiveness to others when they've wronged us? You see, everybody thinks mercy and forgiveness is a wonderful idea till you have to give it. Till you have to give it, we realize how hard it is then to actually give mercy. And that's the challenge, and that's, I believe, what God wants to share with us this morning. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And we know by now this is the seventh week on this particular topic. Goed om jou te sien, my boot. This is the seventh week of this topic. We know by now that we can replace that word blessed with happy. So to paraphrase again, Jesus is saying, if you really want to be happy, if you want the kingdom of heaven kind of happiness, you've got to show mercy and forgiveness to others, or else you yourself are not going to be happy unless you learn how to show mercy and forgiveness to others. So if you're sitting here right now and you think to yourself, "Dit is onmoontlik, Mosie, jy weet nie wat so en so aan my gedoen het," then I suggest you leave right now. We'll close our eyes for 5 minutes and give you time to escape. But that's the challenge, folks. You see, we sit with stuff in our lives that hinders the work of God in our lives because of this. And it's one thing to forgive somebody that's loving and kind and doesn't really mean to do you in. But are you willing to forgive your enemies that really go out om jou te garra? The enemy that waits for the opportune time to stick you in the back, en nie waar nie, somme waar dit die seerste maak. Can you forgive that enemy? Can you forgive the person who really despises you and hates you? Can you do that this morning, church? Because if you can't, You're in serious trouble. If it's easy to forgive somebody, I mean, it's easy for you to forgive somebody that loves you and just like, okay, dit was 'n fout geweest and they didn't really mean it. But to forgive somebody that actually hates you and stabs you in the back, can you forgive such a person? Because if you can't this morning, you like me need Jesus. I need Jesus to help me do that, to understand. But Lord, how and why? The scripture says this in Proverbs 25, verse 21 to 2. It says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. Your enemy? Yes, your enemy. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. I used to think that it meant this. If you do good to your enemies, they think, they feel bad, they feel condemned because you've done something good to him. That's not what that's saying. That is an idiom that was particular to the people of the day. When it was cold, they'd have containers that would be positioned above their heads to warm their heads, om hulle warm gedagtes te gee. It was actually a pleasant thing. It was a pleasant thing when you walked into a place and they had that, it was a luxury restaurant and they had things hanging above your head that would warm your head. It was a pleasant thing. So this is what this scripture is saying, is that when you do good to your enemies, it gives them a warm feeling. It changes their mind. It gives them warm thoughts. It gives them good thoughts. When they see your goodness, when they see your undeserved forgiveness, when they see your mercy, it wants them to change and to become like you. There's the difference. How many of you learned something from that this morning? It doesn't mean put burning coals on, met ander woorde, kry vir jou. Yeah, that's what you get. It's no. You're doing them good. Can we do that to our enemies this morning, church? If we can't forgive our enemies like that, we're in serious trouble. We're in serious trouble. You see, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. In the New Living Translation, the second edition says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Wow. And we come in here, we sing about the mercy and the grace of God and the goodness, and I'm going home, I've done my time. And you think you're on your way to heaven, in the meantime, you're holding bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody. Ouch. Miskien is dit die vorige regering. Maybe it's the current government. Maybe it's the police. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a boetie of a sissy in die liggaam van Christus wat jou ingedoen het. And you like, and you think you're on your way to heaven. I'm just a messenger this morning. If you want to stab me in my back, take your best shot. But Jesus says, if you do not forgive those who sin against you, God will not forgive your sins. Amen. Don't put your hands up now, but how many of us in this church this morning are in trouble right now, sitting here with unforgiven sins? Don't raise your hands now. I love it when the church gets this quiet and the Spirit of God speaks to us. Hallelujah. We need to learn to forgive like this, church. We need to learn to forgive like this. It's a challenge. It's significant that Jesus teaches us this about forgiveness right after the model prayer. He teaches us about prayer. He says, this is how you ought to pray. And he prays about all these things, all these requests that we ask from God. And then he teaches about forgiveness. Met ander woorde, if you're experiencing a situation in your life, jou gebede word net nie geantwoord nie. Lord, I can't get a breakthrough. Why? I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying, Lord. Ek weet nie wat om te doen nie. This week I phoned somebody. He phoned me, it was like cell phone ping pong. And he's crying over the phone. But Mozzie, what does God want from me nog? Maybe there's unforgiveness in your heart. And you're wondering, why aren't my prayers being answered? I'm just saying. Maybe you need to allow the Holy Spirit to do work in your heart to teach you how to forgive. Significant that Jesus teaches us this. The crux for our prayers to be effective is that we are in a place of giving and receiving mercy as we receive mercy and forgiveness. As you receive mercy and forgiveness from God, we need to give mercy and forgiveness to others to ensure that our prayers are effective. Can you say amen, church? How many of you are feeling list to forgive somebody now quickly so that your prayers can be answered? Come on, man. That's key. That's powerful. You want your prayer to get the heavenlies to move in your favor. You want your prayers to bring about the supernatural in an impossible situation. Make sure your heart is skoon, vol vergifnis en genade teenoor ander wat dit nie verdien nie. That's power. That's powerful Christian living. That will get somebody to want to turn and discover this Jesus that you know. That will get somebody to turn and want to know this God that you say is the only living God. When they experience this unconditional forgiveness like this. That's what will get people's hearts to turn. Not the fact that we can talk in tongues and handai, shondai, randai, wandai, all by a bow tie. But that unconditional love and forgiveness and mercy, when people see that, and where do they see it? In your eyes. Sometimes when I'm angry, just the way I look at people, they understand. They don't see Jesus in this cat. All they see is judgment and condemnation. They can see it in your eyes, man. You think you're bluffing people. They might look like a muhu, but they can pick up when a person's heart is adversely against them. Is there forgiveness and love in your eyes, or bitterness and judgment and condemnation? Wat sien die mense in jou oë? Some of you want to put sunglasses on now. Kristel, jy moet jou sonbrille by my kry, hoor, ek het hulle gekry. Nie vir dit nie, hoor, ek sê net vir jou, ek het dit gekry. Listen to this, mercy does not mean that we'll never have to face the consequences of our sinful actions. Mercy doesn't mean that we'll never have to face the consequences of our sinful actions. Godly chastisement is a tutor or a teacher to keep us from falling into the same sinful habits. You see, a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, just forgiveness and that's it. There's no more consequences. Well, that's not the complete truth. There will always be consequences. But praise God, God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. Okay, I'm going to say that again because only 6 people believe it. I said, praise God that God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. Amen. So that when you do repent, He lets the circumstances and the gevolge van dit wat jy droog gemaak het in die sonde, He lets it happen in your life with mercy and forgiveness and grace and patience instead of the full brunt of the justice of His righteousness. Consider the life of Samson, David, and the sinner hanging on the cross with Jesus. Samson was God's man for the hour. He was God's deliverer and a judge that God appointed to bring about deliverance and to defeat the lion. Some people would wish that there was a team called Samson today to defeat the lions. But so there was Samson. The sign of favor upon Samson was the length of his hair. Can you say amen? Amen. Samson had droog gemaak. He was strong, but he didn't have the strength to say no to a woman. Lots of men today have that same weakness. I can't say no to a woman. God help men. You men, you need to be able to say no to a woman. Why are the men so quiet? Come on, men. You need to be able to say no to a woman. When Mrs. Flirtatious comes along with those batting eyelids and then met her amber brookie and that skirt that she's almost wearing and she says, hey, babe, how's about going back to my room for a little, moving right along. There was a song, like that. Men, I'm being serious now. Are you man enough to say, get behind me, Satan?
Amen.
Come on. Come on. The mightiest men of God in the scriptures have fallen because of You need to help say no. And Samson couldn't. And he realized they droog gemaak or whatever. And he asked God, God, forgive me. And he said, Lord, just one more time. As he stood between the pillars, he said, Father, just forgive me. Just give me strength one more time. And his hair grew back. Oh. And the strength came and he killed more Philistines in that one go than he ever did in his entire career before he had a haircut. But he still died. He still bore the consequences of his sins. Can you see the picture? So here's King David, a man after God's own heart. He's on his balcony one day looking for better cell phone reception. He's got no cell phone and checks in the distance. Hey, there's Batsam. And I'm a slate able Sam Bat met her. And I'm was Batsam. I have a slate able Biki Sam Bat. And you know the story, he fell into sin or whatever, and they conceived. And he said, God, against you and you only have our sin. If you want to learn how to repent, ladies and gentlemen, read Psalm 51. That somebody comes to God and realizes that God is a good daddy that loves and forgives. When I make a mistake, daddy's that God I must go to. And he asks God for forgiveness. And God forgives him. God still uses him as his king, his man. But the child that was conceived with Bathsheba still had to die. The consequences of the sin were still there, folks. Can you see the picture? There's still the consequences. So the man hanging on the cross with Jesus, he said, you know, if it's okay, I realize that there's something special about you. I don't know why you're up here on this cross, like I'm on this cross, but there's something special about you. If you are who they say you are, would you just remember me? And Jesus said, assuredly this day you will be with me in paradise. And he was, but he still died. So mercy and forgiveness does not mean that jy's heeltemal vrygespreek van die gevolge. You just need to trust and rely on God's mercy for the forgiveness of your sins. Can you say amen, church? Are you learning something this morning? Okay. Forgiveness does not mean, this is where it gets real. Forgiveness does not mean that the person has changed. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the person has changed. All right? It's more about the forgiver's freedom than anything else. You see, you might need to forgive somebody and you think to yourself, yeah, but you're still the same. Why must I forgive you? Why must I forgive you? So let me teach you how it works like this. There are still principles in Scripture that require us to see fruit in someone's life. The stopwatch is 16 minutes. Dear Lord Jesus, I thought it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Time flies when you're having fun. Just bear with me. The Scripture still requires that if you've truly repented, there must be the evidence of that. In Matthew 3 and verse 8, and in Luke 3 and verse 8, and in Acts 26:20, I believe it is. I'm just going through these things quickly. I'll read them to you. It says that there must be fruits befitting repentance. So in other words, if you've repented, your life must show it. You can't say, Lord, I've repented of speeding, and you still do 200 and plenty. You haven't repented. You might be sorry that you're speeding. You might be sorry that you get caught when they give you the performance award, but you haven't repented. Repentance means when you actually slow down and stick to the speed limit. That's repentance. Confession is, ja, ek het belei, ek het oor die spoedgrens gegaan. That's where you confess and you say, I've actually broken the speed limit. But repentance is where you actually stop breaking the speed limit. I'm not going to put up my hand because I'm guilty as charged. So here's the deal. The NLT, second edition, of Matthew 3:8 and Luke 3:8 says, it says this, prove by the way you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. Say that again. Prove by the way that you live that you've repented of your sins and turned to God. Amen. Because if you haven't done that by the way that you live, you ain't repented, pal. Okay, you didn't get that. If you haven't repented and you're not proving it by the way that you live, you haven't repented. Amen. It's not jammer that you're uitgevang is. You're just sorry that you've been caught out. So there must be fruit befitting repentance. But when it comes to forgiveness, how does it work? In Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus teaches. He says, he teaches about the concept of forgiveness. How many times must we forgive according to Jesus? That's right. So a lot of people think it's only 490 times, and some people keep record. Okay, you've done it again. Time number 491, now I'm going to get you. Wah! It's an idiom and an expression that it means you must forgive endlessly. Ja, maar mosie, wat as die persoon nie verander nie? Wat as hulle aanhou om my in te doen en kwaad te doen en ek sien nie die vrug van whatever in hulle lewe? What if they keep doing it, mosie? Well, here's the deal. This is why I said it's more about the forgiver finding the freedom than it is about the person that needs the forgiveness. Because if you are harboring bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, it's like you drinking poison and expecting the offender to die. You become a prisoner of your own unforgiveness. And when you let unforgiveness boer in your heart long genoeg, what does it grow into? Bitterness. Ooh. Wait till we get to bitterness. When bitterness sets in, and that thing starts to get its tentacles around your soul and your life and your heart and your spirit, ladies and gentlemen, you are in trouble. So forgiveness is more about the offended person than the offender. Forgiveness is this. True forgiveness is this. Is where you can forgive somebody in such a way as if they've never ever done that to you. Think about that. Can you forgive somebody in such a way that it is as if they've never done you any wrong or harm. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Just think about that a bit. Right now, every single person in this building is sitting with a situation or someone where you know somebody's hurt you bad. Bad. I sense God saying, and somebody's sitting, you're thinking, it's somebody that you least expected it from. That you least expected from. God is speaking to you right now, in this moment, He's saying. You thought to yourself, I kan het verwag van enigiemand anderste, maar van jou af. You've done this to me. You're thinking that right now. And God is saying this to you. Can you forgive as if that person has never ever done that to you? Can you? Because if we can't, we need Jesus, church. We need Jesus to teach us this kind of forgiveness. Or else we're in trouble. Or else we're just a bunch of religious, happy-clappy Jesus freaks that have nothing to offer the world if we can't show Him forgiveness. You're playing church. You're a plastic Christian. If you cannot forgive like that. And I'm in the front of that row. That's why I can preach this with passion. Because I'm talking about me. Forgiveness means being able to look at that person in this way. Jesus says this in Luke 17 and verse 3. It says, if your brother repents, forgive him. But forgiving in such a way means this, that even if the person is not yet showing fruit of repentance in their lives, you as yourself can hulle vry spreek. You yourself can say, God, that person might not have changed, but you've forgiven me. So help me to forgive that person, Lord. And if you can still wish God's best for that person, even though they haven't changed, you're in a place of freedom. Can you say amen? You're in a place of freedom. If you can still wish God's best for that person, even though they haven't changed, they haven't repented, you can release them in your heart so that the devil doesn't hold you captive to unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. Because if you, it's like you become a prisoner behind invisible bars of unforgiveness in your life. You stay trapped, and you, my brother, my sister, will not grow past that point. Can you say amen? We need to learn forgiveness like that. That's why Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. If we cannot forgive like this, Lord knows we need help. I want to talk about bitterness. Bitterness. I've only got 8 minutes left. I'm going to go a little bit longer this morning. Is that okay? Will anybody want to leave and go to another church if we preach for 40 minutes instead of 30? Okay. So bitterness is this. Bitterness, when we allow bitterness, unforgiveness to grow and settle in our hearts, it becomes bitterness. Now bitterness is lethal. I put it in my notes here. I've highlighted it in bold. Bitterness is a killer. Bitterness is a killer. There's medical research, scientific research that proves that bitterness and unforgiveness can contribute towards things like arthritis and sclerocardia, the hardening of the arteries of the heart. It's been medically proven. Some of you are frowning. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if you've got arthritis, you're in a place of unforgiveness. Please don't say that's what the pastor said. It has been medically proven that it can. Bitterness and unforgiveness can cause all sorts of health issues, including cancers. Hold on to your seat as I give you this medical report quickly. Are you ready to learn something this morning, church? Unforgiveness is classified in medical books as a disease. According to Dr. Stephen Staniford, chief of surgery at this place in America, refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them that way. How many of you are saying, Lord, I've asked for prayer. The elders have laid hands on me. Let my gesalf met olie laat ek blink as ek bless. But you're still not receiving healing. Maybe there's bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. I'm just saying. Maybe there's bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. I see lots of people are getting uncomfortable in their seats now. But that's good. That's what church is about. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord. Change us, Jesus. With that in mind, forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases such as cancer. Forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases such as cancer. For it's probably about 7 or 8 years now, God is preparing a message in my heart about the scriptural principles of diets and health. And he hasn't released me to speak on that yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. So now they're using forgiveness therapy. It's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reactions to the treatments, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment. Sommige mense wil net doodgaan. Hulle soek nie die, they don't want the treatment and the medication. Why? Because they want to hold on to that bitterness and unforgiveness. No! Ek is nog steeds kwaad. You don't know and understand what they did to me. Ek sal nie vergewe nie. And all the while, this bitterness is busy eating them alive from the inside out. No, I want to hold on. They haven't changed, Lord. I will not forgive. The first opportunity I get, I'm going to get them back. And why aren't you getting them back, God? God, get them. They don't respond to the treatment. It says, of all cancer patients, that they 61% have forgiveness issues. 61% of cancer patients have forgiveness issues. Dit raak nou rower. And I'm only at 25 minutes. And of those, more than half are severe, according to this research by this doctor. By the way, he's a pastor and the author of a book. Okay. Harboring these negative emotions, this anger and this hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety. Chronic anxiety very predictably produces excess adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which is the body's foot soldier in the fight against cancer. So this bitterness and this unforgiveness depletes these killer cells. These killer cells fight the cancers in the body. So if you're full of bitterness and unforgiveness, all the killer cells have been killed by your bitterness and unforgiveness. So the killer cells can't kill the cancer cells, and the cancer cells end up killing you. How many of you, jy's nou eers lus om te vergewe? Nou is jy eers lus om te begin vergewe? Ja. In Matthew 19 and verse 8, I'm done preaching. I want the deep end to come up. In Matthew 19, I'm not done. Hold on a minute. But the Apostle Paul says, and finally, brethren, and then he speaks for another whole chapter. So here comes, and finally, brethren. You see, this root of bitterness, ladies and gentlemen, it's crucial. It's critical. You see, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're battling to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You're battling to receive your heavenly tongue. There's a story about Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. I'll give you the portion of scripture. Meditate on it at home, okay? In Acts chapter 8, verse 12 to 14, the Holy Spirit gets poured out and people get filled with the Spirit. The apostles lay hands on people and they get filled with the Spirit. They get the heavenly gift and they start talking in tongues. So Simon the sorcerer checks this out and he schemes, hey, this is a cool party trick that I can add to my collection. So he asks the apostles, you know, I also want to do this here. I want this party trick because it's like kind of cool. So the apostles speak to him. And in verse 23, they tell him, now listen, you're full of all sorts of chochos and gemors in your heart. You've got the wrong motives. And in verse 23 of Acts 8, it says this, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. The apostle gets a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. And he says, I see that you're poisoned by bitterness and that you're bound by iniquity. And he says, go and repent. Go and repent. But Simon the sorcerer doesn't want to repent. Repent means he himself comes before God and say, God, you've just used this man of God to point out the mistake in my life. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. If he repented, he would have been filled with the Spirit of God. And he would have been mightily used of God. But Simon the sorcerer doesn't want that. He wants to do things his way. He says, no. They encourage him to repent. And in verse 22, he refuses to them. He refuses their instruction. And he asks them to pray for him. He doesn't repent himself. In verse 24, he says, no, you just like go to God. God ask God to like do something for me there. And as a result, he didn't receive baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I wonder if you're battling with the infilling of the Spirit this morning, maybe there's unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart. A root of bitterness. What's significant about a root? It's hidden. And it's deep. You can't see it. You can't see it. You think, I'm forgiven. I'm not. Maybe there's a root of bitterness in your heart this morning that God just wants to unpluck and deal with so that you can receive the infilling of the Spirit this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 to 15. It says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace and holiness without which no one will see the Lord, it says. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many become jailed. Wow. It says, look out. Other translation says, look out for one another. Watch over one another. Guard one another. And it doesn't mean look out like this. It's like, hey, but I'm just coming to find where's the sin in your life that I can say, hey, you, with my religiosity, you got this and this issue. That doesn't mean look out. It means like come alongside someone. And if you see there's an area of weakness, say, my brother, let's pray with us together. Let's get victory over this thing in the name of Jesus. That's what it means when it says look out for one another. Not come with religious planks in your eyes, being God's best speck finder. Because then your heart is already suffocated by a religious spirit. Bitterness has already gotten hold of you. You're already in trouble if that's your attitude. That's what it means when it says we must look after each other like this. And listen to this. It gets better. Are you ready? James chapter 3. This is Jesus' stepbrother. Says this, James chapter 3, verse 3 to 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Put your hands up. Sure. So is there no person here that's convinced that they're a son or a daughter of God? I'm wise and have understanding. I have Christ's understanding and Christ's wisdom. Christ's mind is in me. What about you? Let me just ask you that. Who's wise and understanding among you this morning? Aren't you a son and a daughter of the Most High God? Okay, you can put your hands down. I think that was a little bit too heavy for you. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. So guess what? A demon can give you wisdom that you think is cool, but it's demonic. Wow. Why? If there's bitterness and self-seeking in your heart, you can be so wise. You think he's, oh look, meantime your wisdom is satanic, pal. Interesting, eh? You can be so wise in your own eyes because of bitterness. That's why I said bitterness is a killer. If you've got bitterness in your heart, church, we need to repent this morning. We need to repent. It says that this thing is sensual and demonic. Okay? Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So it starts with a little bit of unforgiveness. And then we decide to hang on to that unforgiveness. And then that unforgiveness grows to bitterness. And that bitterness gets hold of our whole life. And then demons, hulle reions soos perde at the Durban July, pal. Hulle reions. The demons have gotten hold of us. Filling us with all sorts of goeters. All sorts of goeters. Okay? We're in that state. And then it says what? Every evil thing is there. Now hell is living on the inside of you. Not just a little chokoki. It says every evil thing is there. Where there's bitterness, envy, and self-seeking. Now let's look at envy quickly, shall we? We're not yet done with bitterness, but let's look at envy. Envy is, yes, how come you've got that job? I could do a much better job than you, you know. Just let them give me a chance. Dan wys ek vir die wêreld. How come you get that promotion? How come you get that bike? How come you get that position? How come you get that title? How come you being promoted? How come da 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 da? Sien jy die envy raak? What is envy in Afrikaans? Wat se goed? Jaloesie. Jaloesie is jealousy. What's envy? Afguns. Afguns. It says if that's in your heart, every evil thing is there. Whew. It is a root of bitterness and envy and self-seeking in your heart. Every evil thing is there. Are you glad you came to church this morning?
Amen.
You see, church, we need help with this. Eh? We need help. We wonder why this is full of all these promises about thriving, and yet so many of the Church of Jesus Christ is barely surviving.
Amen.
Do you get that? It's full of all these promises about thriving, and so many of the Church of Jesus Christ is barely surviving. Church, we're called to thrive. We're called to thrive. We're called to thrive and not just survive. Casting Crowns sings a beautiful song like that. We were made to thrive and not just survive. Maybe there's roots of bitterness and unforgiveness and envy in our hearts that we need to let Jesus deal with this morning. Moving around, I want to read that in the Message paraphrase. Okay? Do you want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others, wow, boy, do we see lots of that, eh? Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. Wow. Ja, maar jy weet nie hoe daai persoon my omkrap. Hulle weet net wat se knoppies om te druk. Hulle krap my om. Ek kan hulle nie verdra nie. Okay. Okay. But how much wisdom? How much forgiveness did God show you? You think heaven kan jou verdra? I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Wow, get along with that. It's gentle, reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next, and not two-faced. Hallelujah. Okay. Now I'm done preaching. I want the deep end to come up. If you're here this morning and you realize, Lord, I'm in trouble. There's bitterness and unforgiveness somewhere in my heart. There's a root of bitterness. I only took 7 minutes longer.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's do business with God this morning, shall we? So, how can you forgive like this? In fact, this is not preaching. This is something that needs to be read. Now, you know what? For another time. For another time. You see, people, you know, when you hear a message like this for myself, I'm like, God, I can't do this. I'm telling you straight out, and please listen now. Please pay attention. This is the most important time of the service. I'm honest with God. I say, God, I can't forgive like this. I don't even want to forgive like this. Actually, listening. Because so and so and whoever, they don't deserve it, God. I'm honest with God. I come to Him and I say that straight out. And then what we need to do is we need to look at Jesus. We need to look at Jesus, Vicky. And so there's this oak. He's never done anything ever wrong in his life to anybody ever. He's only ever done good. And the very people he comes to save and to set free, take him, strip him, crucify him, nails in the hands and feet, sword in the thigh, in the side, thorns, a crown of thorns in the head. They strip him naked on the cross, nail him. The very people that do that to them. In a moment, he could have just thought about destroying them all like this in a nanosecond. And in that moment, he says, Daddy, just forgive this lot. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus did that for you. He did that for you. Jesus did that for you. He did that for you and for me and you, Oaks. That's the kind of forgiveness He showed. With His blood running out of His veins, the weight of His body pulling so hard on His diaphragm that He was busy suffocating to death, grasping for breath. With those last few breaths in those lungs, those very people that were doing that to Him, the ones who said to Him, "We'll never leave you or forsake you. We'll be with you to the end." They left Him. They deserted Him. Those very people. He said, "God, forgive them." Can you really look at that Jesus this morning and want to hold bitterness and unforgiveness and envy in your heart for those that have done whatever they've done to you? You see, what I'm saying this morning, church, is that to be able to receive, to be able to give that forgiveness and that mercy, and to be able to be set free of that bitterness, you need to receive the forgiveness of Jesus for yourself. As you're sitting here this morning, like me, I've got issues, church. I said, I've got issues, church. I need the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. I need the truth of His word to understand that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if you this morning realizing, Mozzie, God has shown me so many things in my life that are wrong, that's cool. He's paid the price for that. The scripture says that God's goodness was shown to us in that while we were still sinners, He died for us. So Jesus has already paid the price for you. He's paid that price. My question to you this morning is, would you just give Him a chance to forgive you? Would you just give Jesus a chance to release His forgiveness and His mercy upon your soul? To understand how much He loves you, how much He's forgiven you, that you can say, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I don't deserve it, but You died anyway. Set me free, Lord." And ask Jesus to forgive you this morning of whatever issues you are, that you have. If you're at that place this morning, right there where you're seated, pray in your hearts. I can ask you to come up and lay hands on you and pray for you, whatever. But if you're serious with God, do business with God right there where you're seated. Let's take a few moments to do that as we just ask God to forgive us of whatever it is that we've done wrong. Let's just pray to the Lord, shall we? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding Your blood for me, Lord. Thank You for paying the price to forgive me of my sins, God. Thank You for being willing to die for me. I ask You to forgive me, Jesus, for all my sins and all my issues, Lord. Cleanse me. Wash me clean again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank You for forgiving me. Help me, Lord, to forgive others. Help me, Lord God, to show the same mercy that You have shown me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's just stand together. I want you to continue to pray in the Spirit, please. Continue to fervently press in the Spirit this morning, church. Please continue to pray. If you're here this morning and you realize that there's a root of bitterness in your heart, you're in that place where you realize that this unforgiveness has been in your heart for so long that it's actually grown into bitterness. And you realize that the chances are very, very good that the devil has brought all sorts of other chokos in your life, and jy wil net ontsla raak van daai goed, en jy vind dit moeilik om te vergewe, en jy weet, daai bitterheid is besig om jou dood te maak van binne en af. If you're at that place this morning, and you want Jesus to set you free, and the Holy Spirit to liberate you from any root of bitterness in your life, if that's you, raise your hand. Anybody like that here this morning? Those folks that are raising your hands, come to the front, please, straight away. Straight away, come to the front. Continue to pray, please. Right up front here, with your toes against this front step. Right up front. Ek gaan nie op jou spoeg nie, ek beloof. If you know that there's bitterness in your heart, come. And you want Jesus to set you free, come. Come, 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 come. Yeah, Lord Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? One more time. Don't let the devil keep you in your seat. I said, don't let Satan keep you in your seat. If there's a root of bitterness in your heart, please come to the front. Please come to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Right up front, there's space for everybody here. Come up. Come up. Okay, there's not enough altar workers in the church.